This is me saying hello, and I'm talking now. And this is me looking at a bunch of purple grapes on a vine in front of a green background.
Perfect. Coming up on TMS, Batman and Superman will be boiled alive on Hotline Monday.
How will our heroes get out of this one?
Volcan!
Brian took a bus. Oh.
In my head, you were actually reading the text that was
there. Oh, really? I was improvising.
I liked it. It was good. Voltron is back.
How many peeps can you eat?
You. It's going well so far. How long does your cat live in the mail?
Oh, no. Yoga.
Major spoilers.
You didn't do anything weird with that one. V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
They got a name for people like you, Hi. That name is called recidivism.
That's one bonehead name, but that ain't me anymore.
Hail Satan. I submit to the dark side.
What? The Morning Stream. Ladies, we heard you. This is The Morning Stream. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS for short. It's 9:08 in the morning, March 2016. Time's flying by at a rapid pace. There's literally nothing you can do about it.
That was the sound of March.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's also snowing again, so you'll have some of this coming. Let's see here. Yeah, that's definitely snow out there.
Yeah, it's supposed to arrive Wednesday p.m.
Mm-hmm.
In the p.m.
Yeah, the p.m. It's like the morning, but at night.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know why. This sucks. I guess it's still March, and March is often a little volatile, and who knows. But yeah, I could use some warmer temperatures. It got up to 60 on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then just a lot of bullshit since.
So, supposed to be near 70 tomorrow here.
Oh, good luck to you then. I wonder if... So, I haven't looked, but on the... Oh, I got a recommendation.
Sure.
This brings up a good point.
All right.
We say things on this show that are very inside to this show, right? We'll say something here, and if you don't hear it... If you haven't been listening, and then you hear me say it in the public, they're like, what are you talking about? Or that sounds weird, or they
don't
get
both
it.
Both or something like that.
Yeah. They don't get it, right? So this morning I said, it's snowing again. Global warming. Prove it. You can't.
Right.
But then to try to enhance that, I put a little trademark there.
Yeah.
A TM next to it. Just as, you know, it would be a wink to everybody who knew what I was talking about.
Exactly.
And for those who didn't, I thought they would at least go, oh, well, there's a trademark. Obviously, he's kidding around.
It's some sort of, right, exactly.
But I've got like a bunch of people going, I hope you're kidding. I hope you're not serious about that. Is that really how you feel?
Like, guys? Was it Batman saying that?
Like,
Batman tweet you?
I hope that's not how you feel.
I gotta stop doing that. That's a bad idea. I gotta quit you making references that only the show gets.
Oh, that's tough, though. I mean, it's because you want to do like a little reference, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be able to say, you know, my dog's out in the front yard eating grass.
Yeah.
You know, and you want people not say, is something wrong? Or are you smelling toast? If that's even an inside reference.
It is. And the only way to do it is to listen to the show. So tell your friends, spread the word. It's been 5 years. That's enough time to earn your trust. Come on. We're here to entertain you. Get it together.
Right. New TMS slogan. Mm. Don't get it? Listen to the archives.
All right. I like it. That's actually not bad. I would put that on a shirt and sell it. Hey, sure. Look at this, Brian. Yesterday was the Easter day.
It was here in the U.S.
Yeah. That was the day where all my Twitter friends who go to church twice a year sent me photos of them in church. So that was good, and
nice.
That was fun to see. And anyway, it was
cue the Hozier music in the background.
Yeah, exactly. And it was fine. We had the eggs. You hide the eggs, and you put the stuff. We did money this year in eggs, like dollar bills.
Do your kids still doing that? Like, do they?
Well, that's the only way we do it now. So back when they were little, it was all candy and chocolate, right?
Sure.
So this year, my wife, she does this thing where she can't help herself. So what we had committed to was like, all right, me, my sister, and my mom, we all wanted to throw like $20 into a pot of dollar bills, and those would all be spread out and put into eggs. And the reason we're doing just money is because all the kids are of an age now where it's not little kids anymore.
Right.
Like everybody's a teenager and up.
you know what though? What, kids don't, your kids don't like chocolate?
Well, they do. And here, so, so here's, look at you being prophetic about what happened yesterday.
All right.
So,
chocolate money.
So we put, we dipped every dollar in chocolate. Let it dry on a plate. No, we put the money in, and the thinking is the youngest kid is like 15. Nick and one of the cousin girls is 15. So it's no longer like a, ooh, little kids look for the eggs. It's just, dude, there's money in those eggs, okay? So so they like money, right? They all want to spend money, so this is a good thing. So we do all of that, and Kim just cannot freaking help herself. She's like, I just can't do it. I said, what? She goes, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Later on, I come home, and there's a giant bowl full of, like, mixed candies of various kinds, of all the kinds you'd want. And so she's putting money and candy into every one of these eggs because she just has to celebrate at the next level. She has to take it just a little bit further. It's kind of like we couldn't just have one giant ham yesterday. She had to get some Costco deal so it looked like there were two human torsos in a pan. There was so much meat yesterday. She just goes crazy with this stuff. It's totally her thing. She loves hosting and cooking and parties and she loves doing all that stuff. So she goes to whatever 10th degree she can. But anyway, kids all ran around it.
And now you're going to have some awesome leftover ham sandwiches this week.
That's the theory.
This month.
Here's the funny thing, though. So old people can't help but be old people, right? They can't. Right. They can't freaking help it. So my mom's husband, who I don't know what to call him. He's not a stepfather, all right? He married her like 10 years ago. It's not the same.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, the officially he would be, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Fathers like, raise you, right? So if he was a stepdad.
There's no connection there, like, you know, the fatherly connection there.
Sure.
Because it was so late in life.
Right, and there was no formative upbringing with him. So fathering has a very specific parenting connotation to me. So I don't think of him that way. I just think of him as the guy who married my mom.
Right. It sounds totally like a new CBS sitcom.
The guy who married my mom. Next season on CBS.
The guy met my mother.
It'd be a nice spinoff. So they, whatever, he's fine. But he's pushing 80s. Well, no, he's in his 80s now, like early 80s. And he's a stubborn cuss has been
all right.
You know, I've established this with previous episodes where I've talked about him. He's a stubborn man, and I think sometimes just, you know, you get, look, when I'm 80 something, I'm going to be stuck in my ways, assuming I even make it that far. All right,
sure.
So the kids, that is to say the teenagers, are all running around the yard grabbing these eggs, and most of them are just putting it in their shirt. Right, they're rolling their shirt up to put the eggs in it because the rule was you couldn't have a basket. One of the
I love it. Okay, great.
Because you know,
it's like all of a sudden it's an episode of Double Dare or something.
Well, there's rules. Jeff Probst is waiting just outside there to kick one of us out.
Come on in, guys.
Yep. So they're all running around stuffing eggs in their shirt, and my niece Morgan is putting them in her little. She has a little purse. Mm-hmm. So she's sticking them in her purse. Now, this purse has no more room than a shirt. It's about the same size, even less.
Well, how is a purse allowed?
Well, it's not. And that's here's the crux of the situation. Okay. So she's stuffing them in a purse, and old man married to my mom guy in the house sees this. No, he doesn't see it. He hears about it. He's on the couch because he's got some problem with his leg. So he's on the couch. He's got a cane now. And he hears somebody go, oh, Morgan's using a purse. What? She's using a purse? It's not the rules. And he hasn't even been involved in this at all. He didn't hide the eggs. He didn't plan any of this. He didn't have anything to do with it. But he gets up and he comes over to the door and goes, what's this I'm hearing about a purse? This is the wrong message to send to the just completely having a meltdown about the purse. Awesome. It was about the funniest thing I'd ever seen yesterday. Anyway, it was fun. We had a good time. All is well. Now.
Cool.
Oh, and I subjected them all to Heroes of the Dorm Final Eight playoff games.
Like you made them watch that?
I put it on the big TV. I didn't say, everyone sit down and watch this, damn it, or you're not leaving the house alive. I didn't do like that. I just said, this is on, so you can watch this or not, but I need to watch some of this for my show tomorrow. So, you know, this is on. And they were all like impressed.
Work.
They were all like, now wait a minute. This is like this is like sports. I said, yeah, that's the idea. It's they're calling it like sports. It's e-sports.
oh, well, I just thought it would be a video of people playing a video game behind their back or something. I'm like, no, it's like a sports. It's like they're calling the games and saying, oh, look at that move. I can't believe he did that. And, oh, look at the drop of the bomb. Ah, you know, right. And they were all surprised that esports is a functioning thing.
What's this on? Like, this is on a regular sports cable channel?
Yeah, I said, this is the ESPN3. Well, actually, I was streaming it from YouTube, but I said, yeah, it's live on ESPN3 right now. No way. That's just for real sports. I'm like, oh, don't say that to an esports person. They'll dog pile you and lick your face.
Garrett's non-existent blue streak will turn red.
I know. That thing is a volatile piece of wiring. You want to be real careful with
self-aware,
that.
Self-aware, yeah.
But this all reminds me, in the spirit of Easter, in the spirit of giving, isn't that what the Easter spirit... No, it's a zombie holiday.
Right, exactly. You move the rock, and then Jesus comes out, and if he sees his shadow, you get another 6 weeks of winter.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, you think it's easy to move the rock, but I've seen Dwayne Johnson lately. Moving him is not easy.
You do not move the rock unless the rock wants to be moved.
That's right. You don't move the rock. The rock moves you. So
I've eaten my chicken breast. No way. I've eaten 30 eggs this morning. Rah.
So the good news is this. So we oversold the TMS mugs, the commemorative 1,000 episode
our
mugs.
Our limited supply was even more limited than we implied.
Yeah, well, we had more Patreon people do the upgrade and more than we thought. And because of that, we ran out. So we had it. Don't worry not. That doesn't mean people aren't going to get them.
Sure.
We ended up having to do another order. So now, for a limited time, there is a second wave of these that you can get, but you got to go quick because whatever's left from the overage, this is truly it. Only this is all we're going to order. We did it because we needed to make sure everybody who wanted one got one from the first order. So this is all about our fiduciary agreement to commit to do the right thing. But for those who missed out, and I know there were a lot of you because you all emailed and were sad, they're now more up and they're at frogpants.com/store. So go get those mugs now if you want them. It's the commemorative 1,000 episodes of TMS. Established 2011, blah blah blah.
is there more of a chance that you and I are going to get two out of this batch?
Yes.
Okay.
This gives us. I think this guarantees that you and I will get two.
Is this the real reason he did?
Yeah, he ordered another like 300 mugs because
we didn't get ours.
We didn't get ours. Brian, it's just the kind of power we wield.
Damn right.
A note that tonight at. Now I gotta remember how we do this. 3 p.m. Mountain Time. There will be a brand new Hotline Monday episode. Hotline Monday is a show where me and Justin Robert Young get together and we talk about the pop culture stuff of the day. But the important thing is that you guys are calling us constantly. It's all about phone calling us live on that show. And tonight at 3, that's 5 p.m. Eastern drive time. Well, you got nothing to do in your car over there, East Coasters. We're talking all about Batman v Superman. Both he and I saw it over the weekend. And we have a lot to say.
I saw it too. I might call in.
Oh, did you really?
I did. Saw it yesterday. You know, here's the story I wasn't planning on telling. Because I do have stories.
Oh, you got a theater story.
I have a theater story.
Yes.
Tina and I went and saw it yesterday afternoon. We're like, all right, family left after Easter brunch. Let's go see Batman versus Superman. She's like, I'm getting major points for this brunch. She wanted to make sure that I knew that.
Okay.
That this is points in her tally that she can use whenever she wants.
Right. That's currency she can spend on all kinds of things. So
when Real Housewives Con comes to Colorado, unfortunately, I have to go with her.
Holy shit! It's an awful con.
So. Although, you know, we kind of decided a little late. I was like, oh, there's a 4 p.m. show. We can totally make it. We get to the theater, and it's about 5-10 minutes before the previews start rolling, right? Mm-hmm. So it's 5 till. But the theater is pretty full. Like, you know, all our favorite seats in the very front row are gone, or the very front of the middle aisle are gone, where we like to stick our feet through the bars. And pretty much as you go up, there's like little pockets of two, but we're going to be having to climb over people.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. So we're like, you know what? Let's just go up to the very top. And at the top of this theater, you've got the stairs that go all the way up. And then, and I had no idea about this, there's a set of seats and then a big gap and then another set of seats. And it looks a lot like the front row with the handicap seating. Mm-hmm. But there's bars and you're up above the back row of regular seats. So you can stick your feet through the bars and not worry about kicking somebody in the head.
That sounds great.
It is great. It's like, all right, so you're way up, but I never felt like I was, you know, disconnected from the movie. Mm-hmm. Sully, oh, this is great. We'll sit up here. And it's not going to be handicapped seating because you're not going to be able to get a wheelchair up all those stairs. So I didn't feel bad about like, well, maybe we're taking the wrong seats. No, right. This is right. Like purely for people who arrive late and want to stick their feet through bars, right. Basically. And so we sit down, we're watching the movie, and some people come in late, and we look over, and, you know, they're sitting down. And when they sit down, we realize, oh, the other little island set of seats, like we're in, on the opposite side,
yeah.
Has just one kid in it, like a little 11-year-old kid sitting there with the largest bucket of popcorn and the largest soda that they serve.
Right.
Basically, his parents have been replaced by...
Two paper cups of various sizes. Yeah,
right, exactly. Refreshments. Yeah.
Sure.
So movie starts. We're watching it and watching the Batman and watching the Superman and da-da-da-da-da. And mm-hmm. I won't say any spoilers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
About a third of the way through the movie, I guess the kid is starting to get a little bored. So he starts rocking back and forth in his seat. Like, you know, like oh, how far back can I rock this seat? And it just evolved from there into climbing on the bars. Sitting there, you know, like basically pushed himself all the way through the bars so that he's not even in his seat. He's in between the top bar and the bottom bar.
He's 11 or so, you say?
Yeah, see, we guessed about 11 years old.
That seems old for this.
Yeah.
And to be left on his own. That's weird.
It's like, it's one of those things like you can imagine, I'm sure this happened with Nick, where Nick is, you know, old enough to be at the house, just old enough to be at the house by himself. You and Kim go somewhere, come back. He's got the stereo cranked up as loud as he can. He's singing at the top of his lungs. Like kind of the stuff like, I don't have any supervision. Let's see how far I can go.
Yeah,
kind
of thing. There is a bit of that in that range. That's yeah. True.
So it also included like playing drums on the bar with his fingers like do-do-do-do-do-do-do, wow. Which... the people around us probably wouldn't notice because it's not really making a lot of noise. But when you have your feet on the bars, yeah. It's like this, like this rumbling. And then there's just flat out grabbing the bars and banging your head like you're at a Tesla concert.
I love that you used Tesla for your hairband concert. That's great.
But dude, I just like, and at first we're kind of laughing and then we're thinking, This basically, we've got to figure out what happened. It's like, I'm sure mom and dad are like, well, let's go let him see his Batman Superman. We'll go off into the other theater and see whatever rom-com is currently out. I don't know.
Right.
And they end about the same time. So we'll just make sure he stays in there. This kid got up, walked down the stairs, went out the lobby, came back in, went back up, started eating his popcorn again, drinking his soda, which I'm sure didn't help at all.
Nope.
It was.
Was it caffeinated? It had to be.
It had to be. Yeah.
Yeah. That would drive me crazy.
It's like this kid had absolutely no self control at points with his head banging and his like, I don't know, his boredom, his distractedness, his let's see what I can.
Well, maybe that movie is somewhat responsible for his behavior.
Meaning,
it's not.
That violence made that kid angry.
Maybe that, but maybe it really is boring. Maybe that's the problem. Like maybe well, for a kid,
for
11-year-old,
and for 11-year-old, I think that's a pretty rough movie for an 11-year-old.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
This isn't his father's Batman.
No.
It's not even his father's Ben Affleck, really.
And there were parts where I probably should have, you know, walked over there and said, "Keep cool, dude. You know,
chill out, Junior.
Chill out." Yeah. I don't know what I would say. Like, can you knock that off? Because it's very distracting out of the corner of my eye to see you headbanging.
This is the problem, though. If you do that, you go over there and do that, you never know what you're going to get with a kid like that. Because he may rear back his head and go, "Don't hit me!
Stranger danger!
Stranger danger!" And then you're screwed.
Totally.
So, all right. Well, that happened to you. Tell me about... So later today, we will either... I mean, I actually didn't hate the movie. I didn't love it. Yeah. But I didn't hate it.
The general consensus, the reviews of from just about everybody I've talked to is, I didn't hate it as much as I was expecting to.
Yeah, it's all
right. It's not as bad as I was expecting.
It's all right. It's okay. Yeah. Batfleck is maybe the best thing in it.
I kind of agree.
Yeah,
I think
he's good.
Ben was really good.
Although I don't know about, well, there's some other, whatever. That's what tonight's about. So yeah, come back for that. We'll go into depth, and if Brian calls in, all the better. So tell me about your hat and the bus, because this is I can't wait to hear what this is.
So Friday night, Tina and Crazy Neighbor's wife let us know that they're going to a wine party. They've been invited to a friend of theirs' wine party, and so they're going to be doing that. So Crazy Neighbor and I decide, and I guess I'll call him Dave, although Crazy Neighbor seems to be just fine.
Yeah, he doesn't
care. Crazy Neighbor and I, he says, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, we could go up to Black Hawk and play craps. Now, Black Hawk, and I say that very carefully, Black Hawk is a town about 30 minutes west of Denver in the mountains that used to be this old rustic mining town. They used to have museums, and they tried to keep the spirit of that city alive with like a show with like women with giant feathery hats and, you know, doing kick lines and stuff. And that didn't do well.
So it's supposed to be like an old Western frontier town type thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
And when gambling was legalized so many years ago here in the state, Black Hawk and Central City, the two kind of neighboring towns right there, turned into gambling towns. So they added casinos, and slowly casinos just became everything there. Like, it was like casinos and museums. Nope, now it's just casinos.
Wow.
But they all have this requirement that they all have to kind of keep the same rustic feel.
All right.
The rest of that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
And we decided that, well, all right, if we're going to go up there, let's take the bus up there. There's like a little shuttle bus that goes, that picks up fairly close to our house, a mile away from our house. And then we can both, you know, have alcohol and not worry about trying to drive back, and weather's supposed to be kind of getting rough. So you know, this will be a safer thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we take the bus up there. We look at the schedule, says, all right, you know, take this bus. And then the buses are every other hour on the 40s. So okay. 5:40, 7:40, 9:40.
All right.
And we're like, well, we'll probably be up there for 4 hours. We'll just plan on coming back on the 9:40 bus. Be perfect. Ladies will be getting back from their wine party just about then. We'll meet back and play games in the basement when they all get back. So we go up there and hit the buffet, all seafood buffet on Friday nights, which is really good. Yeah. A lot of decent crab legs and an entire lobster.
I love that it's decent sounds like the way to describe it.
Decent crab legs. Yeah. Well, it's no crab. It's not Dungeness, which, you know, I pick Dungeness any day of the week. But,
right.
And then decide to hit the craps table.
Okay.
Boom. Craps table just wipes us out almost instantly. I mean, it's like, you know, the kind of the little budget that we allowed ourselves got wiped out for the most part pretty quickly.
Right, your crap budget, you call it.
We're crapped out, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. We're like, all right, let's go play video poker. So we go over to video poker machines that are over in the middle of the casino. Let's do something else and maybe slow play and make this last a little bit longer. So we sit down in a couple video poker machines, and it's around this U-shaped bar.
Okay.
And so you've got this U-shape of video poker machines, and on the other side of that is the bar, and the bartender constantly bringing you a drink as long as you're playing the video poker. And then behind that is a stage, and the stage has this band that's actually doing some pretty good funk covers. And they kind of look like they might have all been customers of the casino that had bills that they couldn't pay, and so they were brought up on stage to perform.
Okay.
But they were all pretty decent. All right. And then seat to my left completely open, and there's a bunch of people on the other side. So we're sitting there playing, and a couple decides that they're going to take the seat next to me. They're just going to share the chair next to me and both play so they can get the free drinks and whatever. And they are obviously drunk, and I can tell how drunk they are just by, you know, the kerfuffle that happens as they're trying to sit down in that chair and get organized, and she's trying to get her purse off her around her neck, and they're giggling and laughing
you've seen that sight before. It's a
excessive hooting and hollering at the band.
Sure.
So and then out of the corner of my eye, you can kind of see, oh, she's looking over at me. Now, for this trip, I decided to wear one of my fedoras, one of my hats, mm-hmm. and it's not the red one that I wore to the podcast awards, but it's a new blue one that my mom got me in Taos. She's really the procurer of all the funny hats in my collection.
Right, they're all fedoras, pretty much, though, right?
They're all fedoras, okay. Yeah. And it's like a white and blue, very springy looking hat with like leaves, and it's a really cool hat, actually.
Okay. All
right. So I see her looking at me. And I look and kind of out of the corner of my eye, and I can kind of tell she's about to say something. So I kind of look and turn to her, and she's in the process of trying to get hair out of her face. So her hand is in front of her face.
Yeah.
And she looks at me. She goes, "I like your hat." And as she's saying that, she's like pulling hair out of her face, and her thumb goes into her mouth as she's doing. And all I can do is say, "Well, thank you. Thanks."
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So did you have any, was there any other further interactions?
They continued to interact. Are you having a good time?
I wondered how chatty they would be. Sometimes
super chatty.
Chatty drunks are rough sometimes, you know.
Can I take a selfie with you? And like, yeah, sure, fine. And, you know, so we take a selfie. Her husband tries to, you know, get on one side and I'm in the other side. And we're like all trying to fit in. And there's so much light behind us from all the casinos that basically we're just, you know, three silhouettes. Backed by the Willy Wonka machine behind us.
Did she say this?
Let me take a selfie.
Did she
say
that?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Pretty much. Almost like that, except,
all right.
Take a selfie.
All right.
So we continue playing, and they're next to us, and, you know, again, hooting and hollering and chatting with us. And we decide, you know what? Money's going to dry up here really quick. Let's just, you know, it's 7:20.
Yeah.
Let's just go. Let's get the 7:40 bus, or maybe it's closer to 7:30. Let's just get the 7:40 bus, and it picks up right outside. We can, you know, go cash out, grab a cup of coffee.
You guys are like those old people that live here that go to Wendover every weekend in a bus. That's what it reminds me of.
We got the bus.
They get in the bus. They wear the same hat you're describing. But anyway.
Yes, right. I'm sure they do.
That's great.
So we're like, all right, so we pull our money out of the machine. I've got to go take my ticket over to the thing that turns your ticket into the remaining, you know, amount of cash you've got.
Yeah.
And so I go and I cash that in, and then we go over. There's like a self-serve coffee station there. And so we're making our coffee, put a little cap on, a little sleeve, because it is burning hot. Mm-hmm. And then we make our way outside. And it's still about, you know, it's about 7:35 at this point.
Okay.
And again, we just have to go downstairs, out the door, which we do, down the steps. We're going out the door. We look over at the valet guy. I said, hey, where do we pick up the Ace Express bus? He's like, oh, yeah, just right across the street and then down about, you know, 20 feet. You can't miss it. Mm. And so we go across the street. And as we round the corner, and out of the parking garage, we see, oh, there's the bus right there. Awesome. The Ace Express bus, it's arrived. We got 3 minutes left, so we can still make it. And we start making, as we're just saying that, the bus takes off.
Oh, no.
Starts pulling out.
You're like SpongeBob in that one episode. That's terrible. I get getting stuck after. Oh, that sucks. I'm having anxiety just hearing you tell me this.
We have money, but we don't want to waste any more of our money. We just want to get home. Right.
Right.
So we're like running after it and waving it. I've got hot coffee splashing out the little plastic hole out of the top of my cup onto my arm. It's like, that's the sound it's making when it hits my skin. And we're like waving and trying to catch it. And it just keeps on going. And it's like, oh, crap. Because basically this is the last set of casinos before it goes into the canyon for the long drive back, for the 30-minute ride back.
Right, right.
Well, I still had on my phone the schedule, which has their phone number. And so I pull up the phone number, I call and I hit 0, get the operator.
Your phone's working there, right?
My phone's working. Okay. Yeah, it's not so deep in the mountains that it can't work.
All right.
And I get this lady and I say, hey, your bus driver actually just stranded us out here. That's supposed to leave at 7:40 and he just left and we're stuck here. And she says, what, 7:40 now? And I said, well, I know. I had to dig out your phone number, and then I had to call, and then I had to navigate through your phone system. So I really called. You know, this process started about 7:38, okay?
Yeah, yeah. 2 minutes ahead of time.
All right, let me see if I can get him. And then she sets the phone down. I hear her picking up the walkie-talkie. Hey, Zeus, come in.
Zeus?
No, I think it's Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, Zeus, come in. Hey, Zeus, come in. He's not answering. Hey, Zeus, come in. She comes back. Well, I can't get him. I'm like, well, okay. So what does that leave us? What are we doing? You know, how are we going to solve this situation? So, well, I'm not calling him back. He's in the canyon.
Well,
this is completely unacceptable. And now crazy neighbor is hearing my side of the thing. He's like, he just left us. He just saw us in the back of the behind the bus and he drove off without us. And she's like, I'm sorry. There's really nothing I can do. I'm sorry. The next bus is at 9:40.
9:40? Shit.
Like 2 whole hours. I don't want to stay here for another couple hours.
Oh, this seriously is just giving me a stomachache.
Like, all right, fine. If there's nothing, there's seriously nothing you do. And I'm getting ready, you know, to like just dash off a Yelp review or a nasty email or something when I get home. But so hang up with her. And then we said, all right, well, there are other buses that go to other areas fairly near us.
Yeah.
And if we can get to one of those, it's probably only like a $5 or $10 Lyft or Uber to get back to our car.
Sure.
but they pick up at different places. So we said, all right, well, let's start walking up towards those other locations.
And there's no way to do an Uber where you are, right? You're screwed that way.
Oh, yeah, no, we can't. We definitely wouldn't be able to get an Uber,
all right.
Uber here.
All right.
So we start walking up, and I said, well, look, there's a bus right there, and it's coming towards us. And we notice on the front of it, it says Ace Express. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, there's another Ace Express bus.
Tell me it's Jesus again.
So it goes by us because we're no longer at the bus stop.
Right.
And it pulls up and it stops at our stop.
No, I know where this is going.
And we're like, oh my God, this is great. So we run after the bus. And as we're getting to the side of the bus, it starts taking off again. And we're like hammering our hands on the side of the bus, right? And like, I guess he finally sees us out of the side view mirror and he stops the bus.
Oh my gosh. Like,
oh, you're gonna leave us. He says, oh, sorry. And as we're getting up to the side of the bus, we actually see that this one says on the front of the bus to the Golden/Arvada area.
Yeah.
And at that point I realize, oh, the bus we saw was the 725 bus that was late.
Oh, this is the actual bus.
A different part of town. This is actually our bus. And guess who's driving it? It's Jesus.
Oh my Lord. That woman didn't know any of this on the phone?
No, had no idea.
Well, then what's the point? Like, this is what they should know. They should know if something's running late or on time. She could have said, oh, you know what? The 740 is running late. That was just the 7 whatever. And you would have been, oh, okay, cool. We'll just wait here.
If we had made it onto that first bus, we would have been taken to a completely different part of town. Like the Thornton area, which is a good, 40-minute drive from where we live.
Yeah, you have to catch some other
road
bus.
Go by.
Yeah. You would have been like, wait, no, that's it. But driver. Hey, excuse me, Jesus. My name is not Jesus.
Oh, my God.
That's an amazing story, dude. You live in my nightmare last night. Or was it yesterday? Yesterday, right?
Friday night.
Oh, Friday night. Good Lord.
Last night was Headbanger Kid in the movie theater.
Oh, right. Headbanger Kid. You can't, Brian, you can't go to a movie theater without
I can't go to a theater without, exactly. I mean, I could wait until the movie's starting, carefully analyze every spot in the theater to make my pick, sit down, and somebody would come in right after us 5 minutes into the movie start and be the most annoying person to decide to sit right next to me.
Yep, that sounds right.
Well, it would definitely go.
Tis your curse, sir. Your curse. All right, well, we're doing this now.
I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
The man in the 80-foot tree in the middle of Seattle, Washington. It's Daryl Skeels, everybody. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, good.
There's a picture.
That's me.
It's a picture on Twitter.
There's a picture floating around of Bill Duran with a new hairstyle, and he is the spitting image of you, but with hair. You need to go track it down. It's on Twitter. Just look up Chin Beard's account, and you'll see him with... He says, working on my crazy or mad scientist look or something like that, he says. But the great thing about the shot is it is you, but with a big bunch of hair on top. It's a freaky, freaky like moment when I looked at that photo. Anyway, you should check that out. Daryl is the trivia nerd. Comes on the show and he answers questions. We give him a question, he answers it, we see how he does. And the best part is you guys get to participate. 801-895-4724 is that live number. If you call now and you're the first one, I will bring you in. You'll get to participate with us. Before that happens, though, Daryl, how was your weekend? We usually get like 5 calls by now, so I don't know what people are doing. Maybe Skype's not working. I guess maybe I should look and see. Everything seems to be fine. There was an update over the weekend, but who knows? Anyway. Gosh dang it. I knew this every time. Hey, guess what, everybody? Stump Daryl's brought to you by...
Tune in to CamcorderTV.com in April for the premiere of a new episode of Count Drahoon's Feature of Fright. This episode will star TMS's Scott Johnson as Lieutenant Jankowski, head of the homicide squad at Animus Forks PD. A gruesome murder is taking place in the Animus River. Was it the victim's boyfriend, or is there something far more monstrous lurking beneath in? Must be something in the water. Log on to CamcorderTV.com next month for the full episode. Camcorder TV, humble beginnings, big ideas.
I love it. Okay, now we have a listener on the line. Who's this?
This is Thorin.
Thorin, good to have you, sir. How are you, man?
They're from the chat room.
Yeah, Thorin's been a regular forever.
Thorin.
Thorne, I don't know if you know this, but the prize package today is bulging. It currently includes Contagion for the PC, Batman v Superman wallet that Brian got in his loot crate, an Andrew Allen song, a Norwegian CD from me, and a multipass.
That's right.
Are we adding anything to it
today?
We are
adding something today. Is it on me to add something?
No, I think it's me, because you did the multipass. I'm going to include... I know what I'll include. I found, while I was cleaning out some stuff this weekend, we're trying to get ready to maybe put a bathroom in the basement. Mm-hmm. And I found some old stuff, and in there I found a 2013 Nerdtacular swag bag.
Ooh.
With everything that it came with, absolutely untouched, mint condition. I don't know why I have it or where, why it didn't go to somebody else, but I will include that in here as well. So part of the prize package is also a 2013 swag bag. So as it looks right now, you're about to win big here on the show.
I was worried you were going to say calendar.
No, hell no.
2013 calendar. That's awesome.
We burned all of those. All right. Well, let's get to it and ask your ask Daryl his question. Brian, describe the rules, if you would.
Absolutely. Thorne, you're going to predict whether or not Daryl can get the question right based on hearing just the category. Then we'll ask Daryl the question. If he gets it right or wrong, if your prediction matches the outcome, you win that delicious prize package.
Yes. And what is our subject today, Brian?
Our subject today is WWE wrestling.
Yeah. All right. I like this. Daryl, you're a big wrestler, right? Big wrestling fan over there, Daryl?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It depends on what era.
All right. Thorin, based on Daryl's limp response just then.
Daryl's so tricky. I'm going to say he's going to get it wrong.
All right. Again.
Oh, we have a winner.
Yeah. So let's see how you do. Here's the question. What former WWE superstar had roles in films such as Troy and also played Rictus Erectus in Mad Max Fury Road? So that's Rictus Erectus in Mad Max Fury Road. Was it A, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, B, Nathan Jones, C, Bill Goldberg, or D, Kevin Nash? So your options once again are Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Nathan Jones, Bill Goldberg, or Kevin Nash, Daryl.
Oh, good. I'd only know that it's not A.
That seems like the easy one to eliminate, doesn't
it? Right, yeah. Don't remember seeing The Rock in Mad Max Fury Road.
No. And I'm kind of glad it wasn't, because it would have been distracting.
Right, yep.
We needed everyone to look kind of new in that movie.
Yes.
Except for our titular stars. I want to see that movie again right now, to be honest.
Do you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, like right this second, I would like to watch Mad Max Fury Road.
The titular stars were the ones in the back seat.
That's right. Oh, zing. The mothers, the many mothers. No, the milking men.
What is it?
The maids of milking. That's it. Yes. The four maids of milking in the back of the car. All right. Anyway, deliberate. In your special, unique way.
I don't really have a way this time. Mm. I don't have any coins either. Mm. Oh, what now? Okay, just tell me the choices again here. What?
The choices are... Wow, that sounded like I played the file, but I didn't. That was really good. The choices are Dwayne The Rock Johnson, B, Nathan Jones, C, Bill Goldberg, or D, Kevin Nash. And Rictus Erectus was... the one brother who was not malformed, but was real stupid.
Right.
So that helps you at all.
I'm going to say, I'm going to cross out maybe I shouldn't. I like the Goldbergs. That's a good show.
I had a baby brother. I had a baby brother. And he was perfect in every way.
Remember that scene? He was
great.
I don't. You don't really...
I saw it in the theaters. I have it on Blu-ray. I haven't watched the Blu-ray yet, but I've only seen the movie once, Scott.
You gotta watch it. I'm on my seventh. You gotta get going there so that you can remember lines such as,
I had a baby brother, and he was perfect in every way.
Jerry Seinfeld is in this?
What's the deal with all the dirt? I like the in the distance Thorin laugh kind of made my day just now.
Yeah,
that was nice. All right, Daryl, keep cutting away, keep macheteing your way through the jungle.
Okay. Either I take the Goldbergs or I leave the Goldbergs.
You neither take Goldbergs nor leave them. Yes.
I will leave them. I will cut them out.
All right.
So it's NJ or KN.
Mm-hmm.
And the N's cancel out. So which one comes first? J comes before K.
Immediately before K, in fact.
Right.
Yeah.
As the Latin alphabet goes, it's right there.
And J is for Johnson.
Jones. Oh, okay. I see.
Who else is it for?
Who'd you say, Brian?
Jones, because it's the...
Oh, he was spelling the actual name, yeah. J is for Johnson, J is for Jackalope. I don't know. What else is it for?
And I don't know what K is for, so I guess I'll take B.
All right, B, you say Nathan Jones.
And I hope I'm wrong, because we got to get rid of all this junk.
Well, let's find out if you're wrong or right. Judges, can you tell us? Well, sure you can. Where is it?
Congratulations.
You're, totally right.
You're a winner.
You're so right. Nathan Jones.
I love that guy.
He briefly wrestled in the WWE in 2002 and 2003. He has since had roles in Troy, Conan the Barbarian, Mad Max Fury Road, to name a few. This is a clip from Mad Max where I don't know what he says something. So here he is saying stuff. Here we go.
What is your name?
It's Nox. I'll pike her in the spine. Keep her breathing for you.
No. Put a bullet in her skull. Stop the rig. Return my treasure to me. And I myself will carry you to the gates of Valhalla.
I'm high awaited.
You will ride eternal, shiny and chrome.
Witness me.
Oh my gosh. It's just an excuse for Mike to do his freaking emperor voice at the end of the thing. Great. That didn't even have Nathan Jones in it. All right, whatever. Daryl, congratulations on your correct answer. Thorin, so sad, buddy.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
That's right. When you lose, you get unceremoniously kicked from the group. All right, you're gone. Daryl, you've done it. Well, good job. It's just like winning and losing all at once. It's amazing.
That's right.
You're the Trek Nerd on Twitter. If people want to follow you there, they sure can. The Trek Nerd on Twitter. He always has things to say. He's also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And that's it.
I get bumped to the curb.
Yeah, you're getting bumped to the curb. Kick to the curb. Curb stomp.
Okay. Boom.
He's out. That's the end of Daryl. Well, not really. He'll be back tomorrow.
See what we add tomorrow to this illustrious prize package.
Indeed.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by
The Core Show with Scott, Beau, and John, every week giving the most and best in-depth look at the world of Heroes of the Storm. Get it free wherever you get your podcasts or head over to frogpants.com/core today.
Yes, we're doing one tonight. Lots going on in that game. If you are interested in that, tune in.
By the way, David C. is sending me a GIF of a video where Nathan Jones, it's a different movie. I've scrolled too far to see what the name of the movie is, but Nathan Jones wrestles a plane.
Oh, let's see.
An actual airplane.
I'm looking at it now. Oh, look at this guy.
And I don't know why we haven't watched this for Film Sack, but needs to happen.
Can we make that happen immediately? Oh, I love that. He's absolutely great in Mad Max. He's perfect as the half-witted brother. That could be perfect. The perfect heir to Immortan Joe's throne.
Somtam is the name of the movie. Somtam.
Oh, of course we've never heard of that.
Right.
Sounds like if Somtam leaves you a rash, talk to your doctor before taking more Somtam.
Side effects do include
erectile dysfunction. Voltron's coming back. You hear about this?
I saw this video. I had no idea until I saw this YouTube trailer.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I'm going to play just a taste of it. Oh, here we go. DreamWorks Animation Television presents giant robot made out of tigers. Holy shite. Oh, there's no dialogue. It's just a bunch of cool anime-looking stuff happening. I loved Voltron as a kid. I'm super jazzed about this.
Yeah. Yeah, this actually... It looks really good. And I wasn't a huge Voltron fan, but I guess of all the anime, that was probably the one I did watch the most. So I'm looking forward to this. I'll watch it.
Yep. I'm very excited about it.
Gives me something to watch without Tina when I finish with Bosch.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you not done yet? You're getting there, I guess, aren't you?
I'm getting there. Season 2, episode 5.
I got to the So I want to tell you where I'm at with Walking Dead real quick. I'm still not caught up, but I'm to the I got to the episode where it's actually kind of calm and a little bit funny. Daryl and Rick go out and they find that vending machine trying to get Pop out of it.
Oh,
and they meet Jesus.
Oh, you're close. You're in this season. You're not too far back.
I'm nearly there. And they meet Jesus out there.
Yes. Jesus, come back. Jesus.
And then that moment, I don't want to ruin. That's another moment where Jesus is taken off in a truck.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Holy cow.
Weird. That's got a nice parallel. Perfect. But anyway, it ended with that stuff that I won't say because it's kind of spoilery. Mm-hmm. But boy, that veers from the comic. The who he decides to, you know, get it on with. If you know
yes,
what I'm saying.
Right.
That didn't happen in there.
Right.
In the comic, it was Andrea, right?
The original love interest is no longer with us.
Yeah. Andrea was his original one.
Correct. Yeah.
So now it's him and Glenn. Just kidding. Just kidding. I think my idea for Steven Yeun to play the role of
Short Round?
Short Round and be the new Indiana Jones has had some traction. I'm getting all kinds of emails, people mm-hmm. saying they think it's a brilliant idea. It's not going to happen, but I'd be all for it. We tried to get him to retweet it, but he hasn't done it. I don't think he's interested in, you know, becoming an Asian stereotype as an older Asian stereotype. Remember that kid who was a total Asian stereotype? Now here he is as an adult.
Now you can play the older version of that stereotype.
Yep, wearing the hat and everything. Let's see. Competitive eater Matt Stoney ate 200 peeps to celebrate Easter. The competitive eater known as Megatoad posted a video to YouTube on Friday that showed him downing 200 peeps in a little more than 14 minutes, doubling his previous record. That means 30 minutes, I guess. In the process, he swallowed about 5,600 calories worth of the bird-shaped marshmallows or 1,360 grams of sugar. That ain't the good kind. Though Stoney is no stranger to gastrointestinal challenges, some of his past feats include eating a 5-pound burrito, 182 slices of bacon, and seven shamrock shakes from McDonald's. Holy crap.
Mm.
And he appears to struggle in the video. It doesn't seem to go down well.
Yeah.
But he did it.
Don't let that guy near a microwave.
Oh my gosh, dude. Don't let that guy near anyone for the next 48 hours. Just stay away.
Right.
Stay away
from him. It's going to be a waterfall of pink.
He's going to have to peep all day. Do nothing but peep.
Beep.
I'm ripping through these quick because we're almost out of time. Sure. Cat survives 8 days in a box after the owner accidentally mailed her across England.
What's in the box?
What's this? It's scratching. I think your box took a shit. Cap Cupcake is the name of this cat, an incredibly lucky cat. The Siamese survived being stuck inside a small box for 8 days after her owner accidentally put her in the post. How do you do that? I don't buy this.
Right. Accidentally, with little quotation marks.
It says Julie Baggett. She's a hobbit, I guess.
Loved that when she returned the one ring. Yeah. She mailed it, though.
Well, it was her precious.
What's a postage to Mordor?
I didn't mean to mail Samwise Gamgee in it.
She didn't spot her pet snoozing inside the box as she packed it with DVDs at her home in Falmouth in southwest England. Oh, speaking of bad accents, I have to tell you. So last night, the guy married to my mom again. We were talking about politics. Somehow it came up. I don't know what was the deal. But he said, watch out for the Germans. Oh, I know what it was. There's some Germans are mad at my sister. It's a long story. We'll talk about it Thursday.
Wow.
Yeah,
right.
It's because they didn't have enough
Germans
information.
Germans are mad at my sister. Excellent.
It's specifically Germans. And long story, and I'll explain it Thursday. And it's all good. I talked to this guy on Twitter and cleared it up. But that's really beside the point. But he said, yeah, you got to watch out for the Germans. I said, why? He goes, well, they get very upset about things. And I said, like, what do you mean? So he decides to do a German voice. And here's how he does it. He goes, well, it's like this. They'll walk up to you and go, you know, like a talk to me, like a go. He's like doing this weird.
That's his impersonation.
It was so bad. I about popped a rod. I was like, that's not it. That's not even close to it, John. Like, not even close. And that's about the time we went, wait, who's using a purse to pick up eggs? Rah. All right. Let's see. Christian parents are freaking out over the yoga lessons at a Georgia elementary school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't like this. Schools around the nation are adding yoga programs, which has proven to help reduce students' stress and anxiety levels. But one Georgia school district found the reaction to its lessons anything but calm. Bullard Elementary School in Kennesaw. I love the names of these places.
Yeah.
Decided to make changes to its yoga class after Christian parents complained that the Hindu of the Hindu origins of the exercises. No prayer in school. Some don't even say the pledge, yet they're pushing ideology into our students, says Mother Susan's Jeremon Millo.
No, leave it.
Some of those things are religious practices that we don't want our children doing in our schools. The school hasn't canceled the yoga. However, Principal Patrice Moore has sent a letter of apology to parents and vowed to tweak the program. When yoga moves are used in classrooms, students will not say the word namaste, nor will they put hands over their heart center, Moore wrote. Quote, when coloring during brain breaks, mandala colored pages will not be used. How do you say that? Mandalia coloring?
Mandala.
Is that a Hindu thing?
I guess. I don't know. Mandala coloring pages. I guess there's a mandala coloring book?
I guess I just say this, okay?
Oh, it's that that symbol that's like a, it looks like a flower petal, or a bunch of flower petals.
Oh, basically. I got it.
It's like a circular
flower deal.
Any diagram, chart, or geometric pattern that represents the cosmos metaphysically or symbolically.
Okay. So mumbo jumbo then.
Right.
Okay. Right. So here's what I would say about this.
Looks like a fun thing to color. Kids.
And the thing I'm about to tell you I know is subtle, so I'm going to be careful about how I say this. I am all for parents saying what doing and whatever they think they need to do to help their kids, whatever way that may be. Okay. And even in this case, if you feel very strongly about it, you ought to express your concerns and you ought to go to them and do that. But I want you to just stand back for a second. I want you to look at what's actually happening. They're doing yoga. And they're saying namaste. They're not, this isn't a threat to your belief system. It is them, if anything, it's like, it's almost making the origins of yoga or any Hindu origins there may be, it's actually minimizing those because no one's using it like that. It's not bringing it in to say, subversive religious ideas. We're going to make all these Christian kids leave the faith. That isn't how it's being presented. If anything, it's kind of like we're Americanizing it and bringing in this thing, this hippie thing to do to help your kids be a little bit less stressed. And, you know, it's hard for me to explain. It's a subtle thing. But when you just have to see past the face of it a little bit and go, oh, well, this isn't like some, you can't go, well, they won't let us pray in school, but they're bringing in this Hindu business.
What they needed to do is invite the parents to come in and actually see, you know, it's breathing exercises and stretching and calming. And, you know, this kid at the movie theater yesterday probably could have used some yoga.
Probably could have used some yoga. Yeah. Go to, you know what? It's the Harry Potter thing. It's anything else. I know that. I know that it doesn't matter what I say. There are going to be some people that freak out and are going to see something wrong with whatever. And if there's some, listen, if there's a guy up at your pulpit every Sunday telling you to avoid Harry Potter movies because they're of the devil, well, then I understand that he's a person of authority in your life and you are going to try to do what he says to do. But just try to stand back sometimes and just look at things for what they actually are and not what your brain wants them to be. Like, just for a second. Make America great again. Okay?
Would you already?
It's exacerbating. I put the baiting in exacerbating. All right, we're going to take a break.
Somebody's got to do it.
I know. I'll take the bullet.
I think you want exasperating.
Oh, exasperate. I want to aspirate. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Okay. Well, you don't want to make the situation worse by exacerbating it.
Right. That's a good point.
You're saying that it's exasperating.
By the way, Jonathan Strickland, friend of the program, fellow podcaster and good all-around guy, just wanted to do a shout-out to him. He had a severe allergic reaction to some seafood yesterday.
Oh, geez.
And ended up in the ER all night as a result. He's okay. He's recovering, but he was already allergic to lobster, but shrimp has all been fine forever. And now he had some shrimp, and for some reason, suddenly shrimp. And this is the nature of those allergies, man. Seafood allergies. Those things will creep up on you and change. Like one day it's just crab, and tomorrow it's mussels, and the next day it's oysters.
Seems like it's not just seafood, but any kind of allergy seems like, you know, in a couple of cases where the allergy has kind of evolved to include more things, or in some cases like disappears completely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel bad that he even had to deal with it. So anyway,
how's his glorious bald head? Is it all right?
It's all right. It's a little puffy, little red, but you know. In a way, it's kind of sexy. So.
In a way.
Just eat one shrimp a week. Keep that throbbing redhead alive. It's all I'll say about that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for major spoilers. We got V for video games a little bit later. Yay. Your emails, all that kind of stuff. Before that, though, music.
Sure. Hi, Scrappy and Batty.
Hi.
Says Heather J. Yay. For the first time. Yay. For the first time since I started listening to TMS nearly 3 years ago, my birthday falls on a TMS day.
Hey.
Today, I turn 15.4 in Mars years. High five to the nerds out there who know how much that is in Earth years. I'll bet Scott is looking it up right now. Hint, a year on Mars is 687 days.
I have no idea. I'm not doing the math.
About 29. Anyway, well, not about. Happy 29th birthday.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd love to request a song for this awesome day. Nothing specific, but I would love something I classify as hauntingly beautiful. Mm. I leave it up to Brian's genius to find something I know will be amazing. Love the show, though. Or no, I'm sorry. Love the show, bros. Heather J.
Nice.
So in her description, she says, all right, something hauntingly beautiful. And she likes Evanescence, Damien Rice, Florence and the Machine, or Disturbed. Something with like ballads with piano or orchestral accompaniments with a strong story. Well, how about this? Amy Lee, lead singer of Evanescence, released an album just a month ago called Recover Volume 1. It's like an EP, five or six songs on it. And on there, she includes this cover of a song by Portishead called It's a Fire. This is hauntingly beautiful, and it's going out to Heather J. It's Amy Lee.
Yeah, sounds lovely already. It's very Evanescence.
It's a fire. These dreams have passed me by. The selfish all I desire keeps getting me down. Thank you.
protection job. It's basic common sense that you need a gun to protect your employer. I mean, duh.
How heavy are movie corpses?
The Morning Stream. This car smells weird.
One of the great Brian Dunaway moments.
How heavy are movie corpses?
That's a great question.
It was a great way to steer us back onto the topic, too.
Yep, I love it. Cool music. I'm just looking this up. Apple Stream or Apple Music Streaming has her. Looks like it's four tracks.
Is it? I thought it was like four, five.
Maybe. Well, Volume 1 says it's a fire, With or Without You. Oh my gosh, she does a With or Without You cover.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to California, Baby Did a Bad Thing, and then that's all they show for Volume 1.
Okay.
So I don't know. That song you played is not in there.
You didn't mention this song, so.
Yeah, so maybe there's already a Volume 2 or 3 or something out. I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe, yeah.
Let's see what
really
this
good,
like.
Though.
Let's see what this is. Just barely. I'm going to try a little taste of it.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm in, dude.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm all
and
in.
Not Baby Did a Bad Thing. What was the other one? The Going to California, the Led Zeppelin cover is amazing.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's probably the best one on the album.
I'm going to check it out.
There you go. Please do.
I'm going to do it. All right, let's get Steven. Let's smear a little Steven on our bodies and see if the zombie recognizes that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Here's his theme. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. One Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
Ooh, your video is crunchy, man, but I like it.
Oh, okay.
Your sound's fine. You sound great.
Okay.
But your video's all crunchy. That's all right. It's you look like a 90s video hacker scene.
That's right. There's anonymous.
It's 8-bit Steven Schleicher.
This is anonymous. We will take down Donald Trump. It's good to have you on, as always. It's Monday. That means time for major spoilers. And Steven, before we jump to this, the matters at hand, I'm very curious if you also saw Batman v Superman over the weekend.
I did. I loved it for a lot of reasons, but I also understand why a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with it, too. I said this on Twitter. I'll say it again, and I believe it 100%. If you loved that movie, you are 100% right. If you hated that movie, you are 100% right.
It was real funny. My son, who's 8, and so everybody can chastise me for taking an 8-year-old to this movie, he loved it too. Mm-hmm. And he got a lot of the deeper meaning in it as well. But as we were leaving the theater, there was a woman in front of us with her husband and kids, and she was like, "That's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it ranges, man. It's like I've never seen a more polarizing. Both these, this and Man of Steel, they're so polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
It made a crap ton of money, though, $175 million.
It's been revised to 166 as of this morning.
Still, isn't that like the record for all the records?
Seventh for opening Easter weekend, I believe, and it is the highest comic book movie to open
ever.
That high, yeah.
That's nuts. But people, you know, whatever they like the these are your icons. It's the Batman and the Superman. They're the biggest
ones.
Don't
forget Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah, and she was great.
She was in there too.
She was maybe the best part. If I'm thinking about it. Real hard, but she wasn't barely in it though either. Sorry, spoilers, everyone. She was like kind of in it,
yeah,
not super in it. And if you're looking for
great reveals in there, but I won't say,
And there's some of them were very like, hey, comic book fans,
right?
Here's some pandering for you.
And I think ultimately that's why the movie fails,
yeah, probably. But would you agree that, I mean, whether we liked it or not, it's a big fat setup for.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean,
other stuff.
Especially with Wonder Woman coming next year, a lot of the questions people had from this movie will be answered in next year's movie.
And if you hate these movies and you think the problem is Zack Snyder or Dave Goyer, is it Dave? David Goyer.
David Goyer, yeah.
Then good news, because the Wonder Woman deal is a totally different writer and director. So maybe we'll get something outside of that problem if you see those two as a problem.
Yep, and so is Flash. Flash has got a different director, as does Aquaman, too.
I really wish Flash was the kid from the show, though.
It would be nice, but they did address that, and they've addressed that multiple times because they have set up that there is a multiverse for DC. In fact, we get to see a crossover between two multiverses tonight on Supergirl as Flash crosses over into Supergirl. I don't know if this is the first time that it's been done on network television. We've mentioned this before, but one network is crossing over their character into another network.
Well, they've done it with they did it with NBC and CBS, I think it was, with Homicide, whatever, in the streets. Mm-hmm. Homicide, murder in the streets, homicide, man in the window.
Life on the street.
Life on the streets, that's it. Homicide, life on the streets.
Now that I'm saying that is...
Doesn't sound right either, does it?
Doesn't sound right either.
How I Met Your Street. Anyway, that show had Richard Belzer's character on it, and then they crossed over with Law and Order. And
those are both NBC shows.
I thought it wasn't NBC.
No, Special Victim or Homicide and
Special Victims Unit are all NBC.
All NBC shows.
Oh, I thought that was okay. Well, then
CSI or the CBS show.
So there's no other. We don't have any other. Well,
not that I know of. A lot of people. I think some people have pointed it out the last time we had this discussion. But
we'll have to look it
and
up.
And people could argue that CBS and CW are owned by Warner Brothers anyway, so it doesn't really make that much of a difference.
Kind of true, but still kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it is kind of a big deal, and it should be a lot of fun. And if people did hate World's Finest or whatever this movie was, Batman v Superman, not World's Finest, and you want a lighter take on superheroes, watch tonight's show because it should be a lot of fun.
What's your feeling on one little point I want to get your feeling on?
Okay.
Batman, Ben Affleck, Batman.
Very good, yeah.
Batfleck, okay. Uh-huh. He does some things in the movie that some are complaining are not within keeping of the character.
I would agree.
Now, would you agree based on the ones that we've all accepted as our favorite version, or is it because, I mean, there are plenty of iterations in the comics and other multiverses within those comics where Batman
It goes the same argument in Man of Steel.
Okay.
Just because it's happened a couple times in comics doesn't mean that that's what the character is all about.
Okay, so I don't know.
But, I don't want to spoil anything either, but... this is not the first time Batman has been around in this universe.
Right.
And it's a little minor spoilers. So don't freak out, everybody.
Right.
They specifically say that Batman has been doing his Batman thing for 20 years inside this particular movie universe.
Right. Right. Right.
And that, which doesn't jive with other things we know.
Right.
So it's fine with me. Here's the problem, though. I think this is why I get a lot of backlash from fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to do this with Superman and Batman because they are so universally known by everyone of every generation. They're the Mickey Mouse, the Marios, it's impossible to separate them from your memory of them. Right. And you can get away with it on the Marvel side a little bit because you went, hey, you know that third tier, no one cares anymore, Iron Man? We're going to turn him into like a leading deal. And now everyone's going to think of him as a title top dude. But that wasn't always that way, and you don't really have a lot of stuff about him. Your version of Tony Stark might well be the cinematic version. Mm-hmm. Like, same with Ant-Man. Who the hell knows who Ant-Man was unless you're a big comic fan like you two or me?
Right.
But people who don't know, they're going to accept all of the detours they take. Just cold cloth. They're like, oh, that's fine, whatever. I don't know who Wasp is or how she got there or what the... Why isn't this Hank Pym? What do you mean, why isn't it Hank Pym? He's just the guy who gave him the... Like, they don't see it the way we see it. But with Superman and Batman, it's like messing around with the Bible or something.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like going, well, Jesus, turns out, didn't have a beard, but he had an eyeball in the back of his head. That's
a curly mustache.
Yeah.
Right. You can't, handlebar mustache.
You can't change... you can't change that stuff without ruffling everyone's feathers, I guess. So.
Right, right.
What are you going to do? Yeah. Well, anyway.
I'll be interested to listen to your show this afternoon.
Yeah, it's going to be... Jury hated it.
Yeah, I know. I knew he did.
He really hated it, and I came away kind of enjoying it, not thinking it's the greatest thing ever, but I liked it better than Age of Ultron, for those who were wondering where my comparison is.
Oh, yeah, me too. Unfortunately, we won't have a Scott Kurtz conversation because he refuses to go see the movie.
Yeah, he doesn't want to see it.
Really?
If he ever does, we will, but if he doesn't, look, I respect his... He is a... He loves Superman like no one I've ever talked to.
Mm-hmm.
And when they mess around with it in ways that he can't do, he gets really, really mad. And I don't blame him, like when you love something that much, it's fine. Like I said, everyone with all your opinions, you're all 100% right. That's the point about subjective entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an objective truth that it's bad or good.
How about this? Next week, I will bring you my meta version description of what this movie is really about.
Okay.
And that'll give people enough time to watch it. It won't be super spoilery, but I've mentioned it once or twice online, and people have just been like, oh, my God, you're totally on.
Okay. I'm in, dude. Wow. That sounds great.
So next week we'll do that.
Okay. All right. Tell me about DC Rebirth.
Yeah. Talk about change up your favorite characters. Let's go to DC Rebirth. Mm-hmm. It was finally revealed this weekend. We don't know everything about what's going on, but it is kind of more of a let's put some things in line. And as Dan DiDio said, somewhere along the way, we've lost our way with the new 52. Mm. And so they're making some course corrections. One of them that Jim Lee says is that, with those new costumes that everyone hates, we went a little bit too far. So we're dialing it a bit back for Rebirth. So it's not really a universe reboot. It's not really a relaunch, but it's a course correction, I think, for what DC is doing. There's also some new things that are coming up. So if you don't like Superman, maybe you'll like Supermen, Super-Men or Super-Man. This will be a Chinese character who gains the power of Superman and then has to view that through his Chinese culture.
Really?
Yes.
Super-Man?
Super-Man.
I love that. I mean, yeah. I know that you're just saying there's a hyphen there, but I want it to be spelled out phonetically.
Super-Man.
Yeah, Super-Man. So, let's back this up.
Don't know too much about it.
The New 52, are they even calling it that anymore? Because it's
They still do, because the New 52 is that universal reboot where they basically created this other universe and rebooted all of the characters, most of the characters in their origin stories, and got rid of a lot of stuff that people really loved over the years at DC Comics. So they still kind of keep that in mind, although this one, I think they seem to be stepping away from using New 52 a lot, and they certainly have backpedaled all the way from the DCU, YOU, that they launched last year. And it just seems like a very interesting, again, course correction that they're doing.
Feels like when Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo left Batman, that to me, that was the end of the New 52.
Yeah, that was actually this week.
Yeah,
52 was their, or I'm sorry, issue 50 was their last episode. Good news, Scott Snyder is continuing as an exclusive writer for DC Comics. He'll be taking on All-Star Batman with John Romita Jr.
Oh, that's all right.
So if you were upset where the Jim Lee version left off, this is, I don't know if it's going to pick right up where the last issue left off or what they're going to do with it. So that is happening. Also, all the old numberings are coming back, so they will be able to get Superman and Batman up to issues 1,000 before too long, because many of the issues will be twice monthly books. 17 issues will be shipped twice a month. 14 of them will continue to be monthly books. Some of the twice monthly books, and this is what I'm excited about, if you don't want to buy two books a month, Brian, they're DC, so maybe you don't buy any yet.
I don't buy any. not just because it's DC, but I mean, it's if I followed one, then I'd be
right
getting into it. There just aren't any right now that I'm nuts about.
For sure, we know with Wonder Woman, which has Greg Rucka coming in as the writer, the even number issues will be one story. The odd number issues will be a different story. So essentially, you can get two different stories a month. And if you only want to follow the even storyline, you can do that. If you only want to follow the odd storyline, you can follow that.
So wow, this doesn't sound complicated at all.
I'm sure. You know, years ago, back in the 90s, they did this thing with Action Comics and Superman and Supergirl and Steel. They put a little sigil there on the front that told you what chapter this was in an ongoing story.
Right.
So I am hoping they do something like that so people don't get super confused.
Well, it's interesting. Do we know where Capullo's going after the Scott Snyder
split? I don't know what he is working on next, but he is working on something.
He's amazing.
If you follow him on Twitter, he's been putting up a lot of stuff that has some Batman stuff in there. But he's definitely continuing on at DC.
One of my favorite artists ever in comics. I love that guy. So I hope things continue to go well for him.
Yep. Let's see if there's any other things. If you're a big Blue Beetle fan, you're getting two Blue Beetles coming back in September. Both Ted Kord and Jaime Reyes will be back. And in Justice League number 50, we're going to find out what the real name of the Joker is.
Oh, you mean like his actual name?
His actual real name.
Apparently, I thought we knew that from Killing Joke. Didn't we know that?
So Killing Joke, if you read the most recent Batgirls, spoilers, they've kind of thrown that out as kind of I don't want to say a fever dream of Batgirl, of Barbara Gordon, but it's kind of been erased as a kind of like different interpretations of what really happened to her.
Well, how does Alan Moore feel about that?
But in Killing Joke, we never found out what his name is either.
Oh, I thought we did.
Harry
Jokerman. No, so apparently in, I guess, Justice League 42, Batman got a set on Metreon's chair. And it will tell you the answer to anything. So he said, well, who killed my parents? And ping, it's Joe Chill. So everybody knows that. And then he said, what's the name of the Joker? And we hear a ping and we see Batman's reaction. But we didn't find out what that name was. I guess we will.
Oh, my Lord.
Justice League number 50. My honest hope is that when they do that, when they reveal the name, Batman's like, I have no idea who that is.
Batman's a little focused. I think I'd sit in the chair and go, who killed JFK? Bing. So-and-so did. What is the answer to life, the universe, and everything? Bing, 42.
42.
I would want to know some bigger questions first, but it's not like a genie's bottle, right? You don't just get three.
No.
You just ask it all day, right?
Right.
Okay. is you could say, what do you say? Because does Jim Gordon, or no, does the penguin have a micro penis? Bing! Yes. Like, there's all sorts of things I don't want to know.
Does Selena Kaya really like me? Yes or no?
Yes. See?
Perfect.
Does she? Why does she smell like cat food? Bing! He eats it. All right, so there you go. DC Afterbirth. Rebirth is the name.
Some people have been calling it that.
Afterbirth. Why would I say that, A? B, why would others? That's a terrible... Well, I mean, look, it's part of life.
Because it just seems so stilted and just arriving too little too late.
Is it like when the iPad came out, people were like, hey, it's like the maxi pad. Right. Because it's got a pad in it.
All of the Rebirth kicks off with an 80-page giant coming out May 25th. So it's not too far away. And the best thing is, DC has made the commitment to bring all of their titles down to $2.99, including this 80-page one-shot that comes out in May will be $2.99.
Oh, all right.
Yep.
Well, that seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Anything else happening at Major Spoilers people should keep their eye on?
If you want to find a more detailed conversation of our views on Batman v Superman, we discussed it on the most recent Zach on Film. You can find that all at MajorSpoilers.com.
Nice. Steven, take it easy. Have a good week.
See you guys later.
See you.
Bye now. There he goes. Now we will call one Veronica Belmont.
All right.
It sounds like a street.
One, I live on one Veronica Belmont.
Yeah, one Veronica Belmont. That's where all my deliveries go. You need to bring your Uber there and so on. Where's her theme? Right here. One Veronica Belmont on the line. Hello, Veronica.
One Veronica Belmont coming up.
Coming right up.
Coming
fresh,
right up.
Fresh off the grill. Last we spoke was a pre-virtual reality world, and today that all changed because people are getting their rifts today, or they're starting to anyway. Yeah, so that's how I mark the weeks, is how everything before, it's like the BC AD.
BVR?
Yeah.
Yesterday was BVR, today is AVR?
It's the meridian of time where we had VR and we didn't have VR.
Owner dude, like inventor guy, I can't remember his name, but the guy who hates Apple, hand-delivered the very first Oculus Rift to the first person that ordered one.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
Palmer Luckey, that guy?
Palmer Luckey.
Was that him who did it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right.
It was the guy who said, yeah, Apple will be able to handle these if they ever made a machine strong enough. Or
definitely
something like that.
Palmer Luckey, yeah. Okay. Yeah, oh snap.
Oh snap.
Well, anyway, Veronica comes on the show on Mondays. We talk about video games and the world they're in, and there's always something happening or going on. What's going on with you today?
Yeah, I kind of got stuck in this rabbit hole of news today. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of non-specific, but it kind of starts with this YouTuber Vinesauce who plays like weird, unusual, wacky games. Mm. And he jumped into an old MMO called Active Worlds. Mm. Are you familiar with that
game?
I've
not heard of Active Worlds. No, that's new to me.
So it's pretty old. It's from 1995. Nobody really plays it anymore, but the servers are still live. Mm. So he goes in. The world is totally empty, and nobody can make new accounts, I guess, or maybe his viewers. He has like 6,000 people live watching, and they can't make new characters. Like the servers got overloaded or something.
Sorry.
Hey,
sorry. I went to his webpage and something played. I apologize.
But he finds, but there's this one character that starts talking to him, named Hitomi Fujiko. And at first he thinks it's an NPC, but then he slowly starts to realize that it's just one person alone on the server, the only non-NPC character just wandering around. And then the person starts asking him, like, am I real? Like, are you, I'm all alone in this place, traveler. Like, weird. And Vinesauce is like, what happened to all the people? Where are they? And he's like, they all left, blah, blah, blah. And it was really spooky and kind of creepy. And then the guy turned into like a giant, like werewolf and tried to chase him away from where he was living.
And he captured all of this.
He captured all of it. And it's very creepy. And he claims it's real. He claims it's not like it wasn't a setup.
Huh.
It and most like, people who watch his streams are like, crazy. No, he doesn't set stuff up like that. Like, that's not really his style.
Sure. I'm looking at it now. It's got quite a few views compared to most of his other stuff. I wonder, I mean, there'd be a way to, I mean, somebody somewhere is running the server, right? Like, it's not
the
like
servers are still up. Yeah, somehow, which I find kind of amazing.
That is weird, isn't it?
And then it brings up all those old stories. I mean, there was a great episode of I think Radiolab or 99% Invisible. One of those about like basically what happens to an MMO when it dies. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've talked about this before, like games like City of Heroes or you know, any of those, well, big MMOs that kind of get shut down. And what do the people do after that? But what would happen if they just naturally went away from the game, but the server stayed up, and then there was like one dude just hanging out by himself on a server until the end of time?
I love that. I mean, it's the makings of like a really cool book or a movie. Like the idea that there's this like almost sentient server software somewhere running this world that, that you could kind of poke your head into. I mean, I would have never guessed that this anything that old would still be running.
Still, yeah, exactly. They'd be reserving server space or bandwidth
right.
for it.
Now we're
it's
sure
be just we're, like one server, right?
And are we sure he didn't go into like this is? See, this is where my head starts to disconnect because is it an official server? Is this somebody's hacked, downloaded? Like people run vanilla WoW servers all the time,
right?
Privately, they're not supposed to, but they do. And so I wonder if it's that kind of thing. Like, I guess I don't know enough about it, but.
I don't know about it either. I think it must be not a private because people were trying to sign up for it while he was playing. So weird. Maybe it's just one server left up somewhere for some reason open. I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool and kind of creepy, but I feel like this kind of thing is going to happen more often. But it reminded me of back when I used to play Second Life.
Yeah.
And it was just empty. There was nobody there. And so you would go in and just like wander around for a really long time and never run into anybody.
And Second Life, still a thing you can do, right?
Still a thing, yeah.
Server's totally. Still running for that one too.
Seeing that one feel, and now they've got Oculus support.
That's kind of cool. Like I would be into that.
Kind of into that too, yeah. I wonder if it's, see my only problem with that back in the day was that it looked like garbage to me.
It did. Just a glitchy mess.
So I wonder if any of that's improved, but. They say that there's new avatars. I'm looking right now. Global community, this and that. They say explore now with the Oculus Rift, even though the Rift they're showing. Is that gear? That might be the gear. Well, anyway. So I can't tell from the site if things are going well, I guess is what I'm saying. So you might have one of these experiences. Log into Second Life and see if you end up in a vast wasteland of nobody.
Are you alone? Are you just forever alone? Or what's the deal? Yeah, it's so fascinating because clearly not all MMOs survive, you know, not all of them are going to be World of Warcraft or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like Matrix Online was one that had a kind of an interesting cult following. And then when they shut it down, there were like this big event where everybody gathered in the cities and watched the sky fall or whatever happened. And that's a metaverse within a metaverse, you know, kind of idea. Anyway, the Matrix in video game form being shut down kind of has a cool I don't know, conspiratorial cyber twist to that whole idea. Anyway, I wonder if that could be found someplace if you were hunting around for somebody's, you know, Matrix server. I don't know.
Yeah.
Love this idea though. Everything
spooky.
Nothing dies on the internet.
No.
No.
Well, and unless it does.
Yeah.
Unless
it's weird animated GIFs of you know, photos I put up there years ago. It'll never die.
Never gonna disappear.
No.
Yes.
There forever.
Otherwise, it never dies.
Well, go sign up for a brand new account at Active Worlds and explore
the ironically named Active Worlds.
Yeah.
Yes. Very non-active.
The
worlds.
Inactive worlds of Active Worlds. That's fantastic. I need to read up on this. Actually, I'm gonna watch that video because I'm very curious now. What happened there?
Do it.
Veronica Belmont, anything else going on you'd like people to know about?
Nope.
Not at all, you say?
Nope.
Follow her on Twitter. Always good things said there, at Veronica. You probably already are, so I'm preaching to the choir. But if you're not, take time. Follow her there. Veronica, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye now.
See you.
You know, she's on the hunt for like a project management / product management
thing. I saw her post about that, her Facebook post. That's so awesome.
Yeah, she's doing a little shift from her usual sort of I'm doing tons of video and I'm on stage for Intel and I'm doing all these things, and she wants to get like nitty gritty down in the dirt with some rad product design stuff. So I'm very excited for her. And can't wait to hear how that goes. Hopefully it doesn't completely screw up her timing on the show, because I'd love having her on. But we'll see. Ryan, I'm gonna play two phone calls for you.
I want to hear both of those phone calls.
Both?
But not simultaneously.
Okay, you want...
Please play them separately.
But you want both, right?
Both. I want to hear both.
Both? All right. Well, one, there's a guy named Scott Fletcher who called in. I don't know him very well. His name says his name is Scott Excellent. Fletcher. I'm just going to believe him. He had this to say.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you standing there. This is Scott Fletcher. I heard that Scott Johnson asked people who did Pilates, men specifically, to call and say... Why the hell are you doing Pilates? Well, let me tell you. I do this thing called Pygo. It's Pilates and Yago, or otherwise known as yoga. And it destroys me in about 20 minutes. The problem being, it lasts 45 minutes. I sweat like a pig, and I smell like an ox, and it is the hardest thing I have ever done. I challenge you, mere mortal, to do anything more manly than Pygo. Good night, and good luck, while I try to find the off button on this thing. God damn it, I can't drive and do these things at the same time. Oh, good night, and good luck.
Oh my gosh, only he can make things seem like they were read from a script.
Right,
though,
yes,
not.
Exactly.
He's in his car trying not to crash.
I'll play some Pango. I don't know about Pygo.
Pygo, I'd never heard of this. So Pygo.
Don't confuse it with Pygal.
Pygo, that's home automation. P-A-I-G-O, no? P-A...
Well, just look for combine Pilates with yoga. Because isn't that what he said? It was a hybrid of Pilates and yoga?
There's one called the Prego workout. Pogo, Pago, Prego, Payo, Fuego.
I don't see.
Payo. Okay, wait. Watch this video. Pilates and yoga combined. It's been here. It says it's pronounced P-Y-O.
Payo.
Payo.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a little kids animated show on like Amazon right. Streaming or something.
I thought he was putting a G in there, like it was Pygo.
That's what I heard. But maybe not. Maybe not. Oh, and yeah, it says it's really hard. There's a base kit you can buy from Amazon from somebody named Shaylene Johnson. It combines muscle sculpting, core affirming benefits, and Pilates, or of Pilates with the strength and flexibility advantages of yoga. She wants $72.80 for her beginner's DVDs. Mm. F off. All right, let's talk about this call.
I bet I can find a free one on YouTube.
I bet I could. Here's this one about blanket throwing.
Hey, Scott. Just listened to episode 1000 of TMS, and you're talking about with a movie that happened to have a strip scene in it on the back of a headrest on in the plane. Just throw a blanket over it, including the person's face in front of the sitting in the seat in front of you.
I love that advice.
Right.
So for those maybe never listened to the show before, my dad used to throw blankets over the TV when an objectionable scene would come up. And usually that resulted in books falling over or the TV falling over. We could still hear people moaning or, you know, it made it worse.
Right.
It made it worse.
Exactly. Make it worse. Yeah.
So that's what he's referring to. But yeah, when I was on that plane and that strip scene came on for The Big Short, I was just, I don't know what to do here. Like there are right. people all around me. Are they just not looking at my screen? Are they not, you know, and I looked at the list of movies that were available and plenty of them had like nude scenes in them.
Sure.
And I thought, well, that seems odd in a plane. We're all together like this. And
I don't want to watch 50 Shades of Grey on a plane.
Right. And that was on there.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Really?
50 Shades of Grey is on the was on the plane TV unit deal.
Oh, geez.
And if I'd have played that, I mean, we'd have been in huge trouble.
Right.
I saw that stinking pile of garbage. That thing is terrible. That movie is awful. What a piece of garbage. Oh,
you actually
my gosh.
Watched it? I have not watched it.
I watched it because I couldn't. Listen, there's one thing to say. Make fun of a thing before you know anything about it. I figured sure. if this is as bad as everyone says, meaning just a terrible, dumb film, well, I should know. So okay. I watched it. It was so stupid.
Can I, since you've seen it.
So stupid.
Can I now make fun of it without seeing it?
Yes.
Excellent.
Because we work together every day and that gives us the right.
Yes. Okay, good.
What gives us the right? Working together every
prove
day.
Prove it. You can't.
You can't. You can't prove it. All right, we're out of here. Thanks, everybody, for being here and listening and being a part of this show, which you can support at patreon.com/TMS. Please do. Tomorrow we'll be back. Brand new Tuesday show. Jury will be here in the aftermath, the afterglow, really, mm-hmm. of what happens, whatever happens today on Hotline Monday.
It'll be
so.
Scott v. Justin v. Batman v. Superman.
Exactly. All the V's, except for Veronica. She will not be there. The website is frogpants.com/TMS. All the links to everything we do are there. If you want to leave a voicemail like those fine folks did, 801-471-0462, or email us themorningstream@gmail.com. Let's get out of here. Brian's got music, and I can't wait to hear it.
So this is going to satisfy two requests. One that was kind of a hint from last week. I had it in your folder, and then we had the surprise Same Six Mary concert. But Cesar Guerrera was celebrating the birthday of his daughter, Anna, and wanted to hear Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden. The Ted from Sweden, also goes by the name Zalix in the Tadpool, says, "Hello, Scott and Brian. On the 25th of January, I lost my cousin in a car accident. He was 1 year older than me. I'm 21, he was 22, and one of my greatest friends. We were both into gaming. We spent countless hours stealing cars in GTA, slaying demons in Diablo, and building random crap in Gary's Mod. I was hoping maybe you could play a little tribute to him. Like me, he was very into heavy stuff like Slipknot, but I know that's not your cup of tea. Maybe some Metallica or Iron Maiden would work. I leave it in your musical hands. Love everything you guys do. I hope you know how much your podcast helped during rough patches like these." Signed, Ted from Sweden. So, Ted, very sorry for your loss. And Caesar, happy birthday to your daughter. And to satisfy both of them, I wanted to play something that was a little more uplifting that, that you know, wouldn't be dour or upsetting or whatever. How about a Metallica, I'm sorry, how about a an Iron Maiden cover, Run to the Hills, performed by a band I just saw as part of the Geek Bowl, named Metallici. Almost said Metallica. It's a whole different band. Metallici. It's a mariachi band that does covers of heavy metal songs. Put out an album in 2012 called Uno. On there, you'll find this great cover of Iron Maiden's Run to the Hills.
All right. See you guys tomorrow. Come on back now. You hear?
Out on the plains, we Shut up.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I had that all backwards.